to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on your listening to the Refresh radio program here in Cocoa, Florida. So, Merit Assembly of God greet you. We welcome you. We just want you to know that we, for the next two weekends, we are preparing for our annual Thanksgiving outreach. We adopt a block is what we do. It's a low-income street in our near our church that we adopt, and so we are going to be going out and doing that once again this year. This is, I believe, our fourth year to do it, our third or fourth year. And it is a great blessing to the people in the community. This year we're going to change up the distribution method just a little bit, because from a logistics standpoint, it's just going to be a lot more convenient this way for us. But we're hoping to bless a few dozen households with Thanksgiving dinner. And so if you would keep us in prayer for that, we would greatly appreciate it. If you would also be praying for us, we're praying for you. If you call in a prayer request, we or email those things in, we take them to the Lord in prayer. If you would be praying for us, that we would have the wisdom of God and know how we should proceed in blessing our community, that would be a great thing. So we want to be a part of what God is doing in our community. So we want to give a shout out today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, 632-9538, 632-9538. If you would like to have them come out and take care of your air conditioning or your heating or electrical needs, they will do an excellent job. 632-9538. Tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Also, our ladies are having their Women of Worth meeting tonight. It's meeting at our house, so I'm being kicked out of the house to take care of some other responsibilities and free up the ladies to come and fellowship with one another. They have some food that starts at 6:30 and the meeting starts at 7. So our ladies will be having a great time. Men, our breakfast will be coming up on, let's see, 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd. On November the 21st is when our men's breakfast is going to take place, and then we're going to be going out and distributing Thanksgiving dinners to the people in our community. So thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to get back into 2 Peter chapter 2 today. And even though the word deliver is not mentioned here in this particular section of verses in 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to see that that's what God is really doing. He is giving us instruction to deliver us from people who are not operating under godly premises. We started off in up in the first part of chapter 2 that he wants to deliver us from false teachers. Then it talks about how God had delivered false or demonic angels into chains of darkness. He delivered Noah and seven other people from the flood that destroyed them. He delivered Lot, even though there was destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah. He also knows how to deliver the righteous or the godly out of all temptations. And so and then it goes on to say, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially, this is verse number 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So we're going to start here and and go through some of these attributes of things that God is not pleased with. Okay, please understand that when you look at this, this is not a buffet. Well, I don't have this, so I'm okay, but I do have that. But, you know, I'm sure God will overlook that. We need to look at this and see that God, by His Holy Spirit, is warning us not to adopt these types of attributes. Bad company corrupts good character. And so we've talked about the natures of the flesh, and it really is quite disturbing how prevalent immorality is, and sexual sins of all varieties are inside the church. Those are things that are taking place inside the church. And God, in Revelation, He says that He does give people a season, an opportunity to repent of that sexual sin, but you've got to avail yourself of that season of opportunity. So we've talked about that. I did think about this after we were discussing uncleanness the other day, and you know, once you have come to appreciate sanitary conditions, you won't accept unsanitary conditions any longer. You know, we talked about having sanitized and sterilized equipment in medical procedures, but I got to thinking about this after that broadcast. About, there was a scene in one of the Back to the Future movies where the character was sent back into the Old West, and while he was there, they offered him a glass of water, and they were perfectly content with that water, even though when the character held up, Michael J. Fox's character, what is his name, Marty McFly or whatever, he looked at it and he couldn't see through it. All he could see was all of the stuff that had not been filtered out of the water. They were okay with that because they didn't know what clean water was, but because he knew what cleanliness, what sanitized water, what safe drinking water looked like, he looked at it and said, you know, I think I'm going to pass on that for right now. And I pray that once again here in America, that the church understands that the cleanliness that is made available to us, the purity that is made available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins and the lifestyle of righteousness, that we would once again appreciate it, that we would not be looking for the bare minimum standards, but instead we would be looking for as safe and as clean and as healthy an environment as we could possibly find. The next attribute that is contributed or mentioned about these as a descriptive force is people who despise authority. People who despise authority. I think back to the book of Judges, and it said every man did what was right in his own eyes. And there are various attitudes towards authority. And one of them, you know, I think back to the statement made in the 1960s, is never trust anyone over 30. And there was a real crisis of trust that was going on in our country. And that crisis was created because some of our highest levels of authority had proven themselves untrustworthy. They'd been corrupt, and so the attitude that was developed was, let's rebel against all authority. And I want you to know that that is not a godly attribute. Now, I want to remind you of this teaching, because I believe it is very important, that if you were to create a linear, a top to bottom line, where God is the top line of authority, and as we stay directly under Him with what He has authorized us to do, then, or the, if the people who are in authority over us, if they stand in proper alignment with what God has authorized them to do, we have no problem. If we stay underneath them with the proper authority that has been given to us, we have no problem. If the people who we have authority over, remember the centurion said, I am a man under authority, and therefore I say to this one, go, and he goes, and he does what I tell him to do. as long as that alignment is staying correct, there are no problems. But what happens if the person over us, that is in authority over us, if they get out of line, then they are in rebellion to God's word, and we need to, in love, invite them back into proper alignment. But what has happened in America is there is such a disdain for authority, and it is becoming pervasive throughout every area of our society. Now the military is unjust for holding the standards that they once held. That's what our modern society views at them as. The standards of God's word have been rejected. It has been rejected as an authority, and you know, just like God told Samuel, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. And so there is an attempt to justify any rebellion or to the authority that are over us. And I just want to ask quite simply this question, and that is this. How do we respond to that? Because we are supposed to call people back into alignment, back into relationship with God, but we are not supposed to ever develop that attitude where we despise them and fail to respect them. Now, I want you to understand that there is a law higher than the laws of America. There is a moral law. When the Nazis were on trial at Nuremberg, and they tried over and over again with the defense, we were just following the orders of those who were in authority over us. And that defense did not prevail. It said, you know what? If there is an order that is unjust, immoral, inhumane, then you are not supposed to follow that order. That is not what we are talking about here. We are talking, what Peter is talking about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is God-ordained authority that is in alignment with his purpose and his plan and his word, and we develop an attitude of despising it. Where it says, and despise authority. There are some people who just don't want anyone telling them what to do. Isn't that what they said to Lot when Lot objected to their plan in Sodom and Gomorrah? Who is this outsider who has come in here and is now trying to tell us what to do? Well, you know, the response could have been, hey, I'm the guy whose uncle just came and saved your neck. That's who I am. I'm just trying to maintain a righteous community here. That's all I'm trying to do. But they didn't want anything to do. Now, here's the thing. Just because a person despises the authority of God does not mean that they are going to get their wish. So there needs to be a warning sign. If you are around someone and they do not respect their boss, if they do not respect the police, if they do not respect their parents, if they do not respect their teacher, if they do not respect the law, if they do not respect the Constitution, if they do not respect the Word of God, then you understand right away where their heart is. See, in America, we tend to like to believe people at the words that they say, and if they say, hey, I'm a Christian, we want to accept that, and we want everybody to become a Christian. That's great. But I do want to tell you this, that there is a noticeable transformation that takes place. You don't get to pray a prayer and go out and do the same things that you did before, because when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you also asked him to be your Lord, the highest authority in your life. That is what the Lordship of Jesus Christ is. And so we as pastors, we come and we try and help people to understand the authority of God by the Word of God. Say, what does God's Word have to say about this? There are a lot of people who make a mess of their life because they're trying to make something that is contrary to God's word more suitable than God's word is. They want God to put his stamp of approval on something that is unscriptural, and that just is not going to have long-term benefits. I'm greatly troubled when I see the way that the law enforcement is looked at. And please believe me, I've had law enforcement members in my extended family. I've known law enforcement officers my whole life. I know that not every law enforcement officer conducts themselves in the right manner, but we can still respect them. You know, I've had some encounters with some, and in every encounter with a law enforcement officer, I try and maintain myself in a respectful manner and treat them with respect. And I'll be honest with you, whenever I see a military person or if I see a police officer or a fireman in the community, I try to always make a point to go up and say, thank you for your service. And, you know, I want to let them know that we are praying for them. So these people that are being reserved for punishment for the day of judgment, they do not respect authority. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Okay, we need to understand that. That's one of the things that greatly troubles me when I read the Old Testament, is when people were received a commission from God, immediately they went out and they tried to put their hand and they tried to make it happen, and they made a great big mess of things, and they ended up being removed from office in very short manner as well. David refused to do that. David said, you know what? The king is the king, and even though I'm anointed to be king, I trust God enough to wait for the perfect time for him to set me up on the throne. Now, kings were not priests. There was a particular king who went in and tried to use his authority as king to go in and be like the other kings around. And that was, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to establish myself as an authority, and I'm going to go into the temple, and I'm going to offer sacrifice. And because of his rebellion, when he got in there, God greeted him with leprosy, and it says that the priests ushered him out, and he himself was quite willing to leave at that point in time. You see, God doesn't wink at rebellion. It is not a pleasant thing. It's not of the kingdom of God. Rebellion is what the devil does. Despising authority is what the devil does. And he tries to make it look so appealing. But I'm here to tell you that if we do not respect authority, sooner or later we are going to be forced into an encounter with an authority that we cannot reject. There are many, many people who are in jails and prisons today simply because they did not learn to respect authority when that authority was mom and dad. They didn't learn to respect authority when it was their teacher in school. They didn't learn to respect authority at any of the levels along the way, and pretty soon they found themselves in such a violation of the law and such rebellion to the law that they ended up being compelled by force to respect the authority of a judge and the sentence that he was given to them. And, you know, I tell you, I am thankful. I pastor an Assemblies of God church. I am thankful for my presbyter. I'm thankful for my district superintendent. I am thankful for the people in authority over me. You might ask yourself, have they ever spoke correction into your life? Yes, they have. Did you respect them? Yes, I do. And so I respect the authorities that God has placed over. Now, if my authority ever tells me to do something that is contrary to the word of God, please understand, I am going to continue to respect the authority of God, and I will respectfully treat that person that's in authority over me. I will respectfully call them back to the word of God. And that, I mean, you can deal with that manner in such a way that you do not despise the person that's doing it. So I want to ask you today, what do you see going on with authority here in 2015? How do you see our society? Do you see our society looking at authority with greater respect, or do you see a society having less respect for people in authority? And I mean violent opposition. I was greatly troubled last week. I saw a couple of videos of things that go on in our classrooms where the kids were just completely disrespecting and completely ignoring, and actually in one case terrorizing the teacher. I had to turn the volume down because the language was so vile, but they were the ones that were giving the orders in the classroom, and I because the language was down, I didn't stick around to see what city that was. But it made me feel sorry for the teachers. And the reason that has happened is because we have postponed and delayed for such a long period of time in the children's development that they don't respect authority. There are things that happened to me when I was growing up that now those things would get people incarcerated. They're no longer tolerated. We have lowered the standard to where you can't even hardly grab a shirt collar and get a kid out of the classroom who is being disruptive and stealing a learning opportunity from the rest of the class. That troubles me when our law enforcement officers, which are charged to serve and to protect, when they are not respected in for what they do. And please believe me, hear me again. There's plenty of evidence out there of officers who have overstepped their authority, and at that point in time, they become lawbreakers, and they will come to justice. But we need to treat them with respect. And so for all of our law enforcement officers out there, we just let you know that we are praying for you. We're praying for your safety. And, you know, I will say this. There are some people who think that police officers' jobs are really easy, and that there's a lot of donuts involved. And for the most part, I can tell you, I haven't found that to be the reality with the police officers that I've had encounters with. But there's some interesting videos out there of people who thought that they could make better determinations of what a law enforcement officer was going through than the law enforcement officer was. You know, anybody out there familiar with backseat drivers or shotgun drivers, that they're over there, they don't have their hands on the wheel, they don't have their foot on the accelerator, but they can drive better than you. You know, my kids a lot of times will think that they can drive better than the adults, and that they know more, and all of that sort of stuff. And so those things that I've seen on video, they put these critics in training scenarios, and each and every one of them, they come back and they realize at that point in time how difficult that police officer's job is, and what the slightest differentiation of judgment can lead to tragedy, or it can lead to a proper procedure. So we need to pray for our police officers and our law enforcement personnel, that God would help them to do their job. You see, one of the things that you've got to take into consideration is that a person cannot govern in a godly manner. They cannot operate in a godly manner in a position of authority unless where people are praying for them. God needs to equip us for the authority levels that we have. So here's the thing that I've tried to do. I knew that God had called me to be a pastor, so I treated my pastor with respect. Even pastors that I've had, that I've worked with, that we didn't necessarily see eye to eye on some things, but I treated them with respect. And so that's the way that I have tried to operate is, look, if I want people to respect me as the pastor, I need to respect my presbyter and I need to respect my superintendent, and I do. I am their biggest cheerleader. I am their you know, I support them. I pray for them. I encourage them. I build them up. I tell them how much I appreciate them. You know why? Because they know things that I don't know. I pray for my government authorities. I pray for my president, my representatives, my congressmen. And here's a way that I pray many times, and that is this. God, I pray that they have information at their disposal that nobody else knows about, and that that's leading to some of their decisions rather than just the things that I see. There have been some presidents who've done some things in the past, and there were plenty of critics, and they called them liars and manipulators and all of that. And actually, the only thing that was going on was they were not disclosing everything that they knew. I do believe that we have a responsibility when a person is behaving in an ungodly manner, even if they are an authority, to go up to them in a godly manner and say, can I share this scripture with you? Can we discuss this? Tell me what you think about this. Because I'll tell you this, there are a lot of things that are going on in America right now that do not stand up to the standard of God's word. And we need to be confronting those authorities, not from a despising position, but an equipping position, and say, can I equip you with the truth of God's word? And then whatever they do, they do. But you and I, we need to maintain our attitude, proper alignment, proper positioning under God, under his authority, and let's not be people who rebel and despise authority. Let's close out in prayer. By the way, you've got Veterans Day that's coming up here just in a couple of days on Wednesday. Why don't you make plans over the next couple of days that if you know a veteran, find a way to bless them. I know there's a lot of restaurants that do some free stuff and all of that sort of stuff, but why don't you look for a unique way to bless a veteran? If you're a veteran that's out there and listening, we have a copy. We have a few copies of Warrior Bibles that are written by military personnel. Study notes are written by military personnel for military personnel and their families. If you would like a copy of one of those free of charge, contact us at meritassembly@hotmail.com or call us at 454-4263. Leave us your name, your address, and how to get in contact with you, and we'll bless you with one of those copies. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be